Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No shortage of response. Bears, Lions, Sunday, Ford Field. Benedict Johnson in the building. Public enemy number one. And we've tried to unpack where the source of the hate comes from. Because it could just be as simple as, that's the Bears head coach. I hate the Bears. F the Bears. But John, you said it's a little more than that. Because you would root for Aaron Glenn more than Ben Johnson if he was in that spot.
Yeah, as soon as I turned the TV on and it was the Jets, you saw Aaron Glenn on the sidelines. I'm rooting for them. And I'm certainly not a Jets fan.
No.
He could have gone anywhere in division or around the NFL, and I would have been rooting for him as long as it's not somebody that the Lions are playing. Now, I wouldn't sit there and say, well, I want it to be an epic disaster for them. I just want the Lions to win. For Ben Johnson, I would love every game to be an epic disaster. And the fact that they had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter and lost, that was very satisfying to see that happen.
So is it his demeanor? Is it the fact that, not you, John, but a lot of people blame him for that playoff loss almost solely? I've seen a lot of that. That's my working theory, is they have conveniently made him the source of all the bad stuff that happened in the playoff game.
Yeah.
We've had people point out his opening press conference where he just came across as this arrogant person.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that his arrogance is a lot of it. It's also, I think he's putting on a show. I don't think he's not a tough guy. And he's trying to give that tough guy personality. Like, he's trying to set that as his personality. It's just not him.
I do think all these things are in play. I think the division really fuels this. I wouldn't like Aaron Glenn as much if he was with the Bears, okay?
But it wouldn't be the same degree that it is with Ben Johnson.
One of my little things is attaching himself to Caleb Williams, because I don't like Caleb Williams. I don't think Caleb Williams will ever be a franchise quarterback. But I just thought of something here a little while ago with this. The Lions, we all know the history. It's been awful, right? And he was definitely the more appealing coordinator hire from a different team. Now, you might personally think Aaron Glenn might be a better leader of men and all that kind of stuff, but Ben Johnson was the target. Numerous teams wanted him.
For a couple years.
In my life, I don't think a Detroit Lions coordinator on either side has gone to be a head coach somewhere. And you had a great one. Like him or not, he was great here. And he's the first one that left. Is there an element of that to where we're just... He left us with unfinished business.
Well, I do think, specifically, he alluded to having unfinished business and then left anyway. I think that's part of what rubbed people the wrong way.
But he's the first one to do it. It's a very unique thing for a Lions fan.
Well, it was different because fans were getting upset that he was interviewing, even though it happens every year to every other good football team. It was new for us.
We're not used to going through that. So I think the whole process might be in play here.
Texter says, he talked too much junk. He tries to be fake tough. He tries to be fake Dan Campbell. I mean, he came out and said, Sewell throws a better ball than Jared Goff. It's nice to finally have a QB who can run. Like, he took his shots.
We're going to bite some fingernails off.
Oh. He took a shot at LaFleur right away, and you think, oh, maybe they have some kind of rivalry. Yeah. LaFleur's like, I don't know this dude. 248-539-9797. Cookie's spot on with my feelings. I hated how he called that playoff game. Fans deep down feel like he had one foot out the door when we needed him most. That's the issue. Someone has compared him to the character from Good Will Hunting. Good Will?
Oh.
Will Hunting?
Will Hunting, yeah.
So he's super smart but crazy? Has some psychological problems?
Is he bad Will Hunting?
He doesn't have Will Hunting's past. We'll leave it at that.
Ben Johnson going to the Bears is like dating someone a little out of your league, and you're thankful to be with them because you know they have options, but you feel good knowing they chose you. Then they dump you for one of your friends, and now you have to see them together all the time. You just hope they're miserable. Some psychology. Joe in Madison Heights, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
he forgot where he came from. First of all, he was a quarterback coordinator at first, and he got promoted to OC. And he had the best running back room in the game, a top three offensive line in the game. I mean, he did a lot of good things. I'm not going to say he didn't, but he just forgot where he came from. I mean, he dialed some good stuff up, but I do not blame him for that loss. They didn't execute, John, on the defensive side of the football. You got to stop a rookie quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you got to be able to run the ball, which, you know, you could call it call play, you know, play calling. You got to execute offensively, and nobody offensively executed in that game.
You know what's weird is saying, like, he forgot where he came from. He did try to replicate the Lions in one offseason. He added three interior offensive linemen, brand new. They drafted a tight end in the first round in Colston Loveland to play the LaPorta role. And then Luther Burden, they're super excited about him playing some sort of game-breaking role, whether that's, you know, the JMO role or not. He very much is trying to do what he did in Detroit and Chicago. I think he knows why he was successful in Detroit. I don't think it's an accident that it came with that offensive line and those playmakers. And now he's trying to duplicate it.
Yeah.
I don't think he forgot where he came from.
No. I think there's just a level of arrogance when he speaks and you're like, I'm not buying it.
248-539-9797. Perry, Garden City. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how y'all doing, man? Good morning. Good morning. Hey, I agree with you 100%, John. The cockiness, the arrogance. I kind of disagree with you a little bit, Cookies. I was souring on Ben well before that Washington game. I was telling my barber all last season, dude, even though the play was working, I said, dude is getting too cute. I just thought he was too cute, thought he was smarter than what he really was. He comes off as a smug, arrogant Richard, and I don't really dig the dude. But Aaron Glenn, I believe he's going to be successful, and I don't know if I believe or just hope that Ben Johnson flames out miserably. I'm 100% with you on that, John. Yep. And I hope I'm a season ticket holder. I hope we smack the dog crap out the Bears on Sunday. Y'all have a good one.
I'm with you.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Let's make a statement. The number of smug, smarm, punchable, a lot of this on the ticket text, like it's almost a constant.
Yeah.
People's feelings towards Ben Johnson. Arrogance, it's a higher level than that of Aaron Glenn. That's the difference. Texter says it's solely the playoff loss. He checked out, called a horrible game, and I'll forever blame him for it. Another one accuses him of mailing it in that playoff game. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, you know, he says he was out on Ben Johnson. If he was fired, you'd take him back, wouldn't you? I would. He led the number one offense a year ago. Great rapport with Jared Goff.
Yeah.
You're hesitating. You wouldn't take him back.
I don't know.
The Patriots took back McDaniels.
Right.
And it worked out great.
I have no doubt about that. To me, if you'd say, yes, I want to take him back, it means you're giving up on John Morton. Now, the first example we have is not a great one. There's no glowing reviews from the game plan on Sunday, but I'm willing to explore it more.
I'm just saying, Nate Shelley was hired back by Ted Lasso.
Yes, he was.
Let's get to Chris in Grass Lake. Chris, good morning.
Hey, morning, fellas. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Good. I think something that's being missed here, and I totally agree with all the reasons why Ben is punchable and we want to. But I think, honestly, I'm a little scared. There's a touch of it of being, I'm scared that he was the reason why we were so good, right? And I think that's the build and talk up of all the talking heads on ESPN and everything of like, Ben Johnson did this and Ben Johnson did that. And like, well, I think it's Dan Campbell, and we kind of know it's Dan Campbell, but I mean, after the first week, for sure, it's like the first quarter, the Bears looked like the Lions I used to know. And last week's game, the Lions didn't look like anything that I knew about the new team I fell in love with, right? Like, so there's some insecurities, and that's why I want him to fail to prove that, like, it wasn't you, Ben, it was us. So, I want him to lose every game just to make me feel like and better and know that our team has a chance to turn it around because Ben Johnson wasn't everything, right?
So props to you for admitting that, because I don't think a lot of Lions fans would want to say that out loud, but they may be thinking it. They want to know, like, we didn't need him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's my hesitation of saying, you know, would you want him back?
You don't want to admit it.
Well, I want to see if Dan Campbell and John Morton can do similar things.
Phone calls, ticket texts. We stumbled into something here. People feel a certain type of way about Ben Johnson, and it's not just because he went to the Bears. What's your big issue with Ben Johnson? Your biggest issue? We'll get to Dear John at 9:35. It's 97.1.
Hey, Dr. B at Michigan Hair Restoration is celebrating 30 years of helping thousands of guys across Southeast Michigan regrow their hair and restore their confidence. And to celebrate, he's giving you up to 30% off any hair transplant to mark the milestone. You got to go meet Dr. B. He is a true pioneer. He's one of the first to use your own hair to stimulate new growth. What once seemed like science fiction is now changing lives right here in Michigan. And he believes in it so much. Not only has he had the procedure himself, he recently performed it on his own son. So forget those outdated methods. There's no stitches, there's no staples, no embarrassing scars. Just real results with hair you can run your fingers through. And he offers the most advanced treatments, including natural therapies that just keep getting better and better. And he guarantees all of them. So the sooner you go to see Dr. B, the more options you're going to have. Book now at MichiganHairRestoration.com and make sure to mention 97.1 to unlock your exclusive discount for the month of September only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Johnson, as Ticket Texter puts it, it's not the playoff loss, it's the pot shots he took when he left.
Yeah. And you can have, you know, we all got relationships with our buddies and we pick on them behind closed doors. But then when it, you know, when it's a public setting, you know, hey, I got your back.
When you gush about having a mobile quarterback and you joke that the tackle threw a better ball than your quarterback who was in the MVP voting, yeah, it's going to fan the flames with people. And we've asked you guys why you hate him so much. Is it the playoff loss? That was my theory. I feel like a lot of people have made that his fault solely in some ways. John, you've brought up more of his demeanor, the smugness, yeah. the fake tough guy thing that just doesn't sit right with you.
Yeah, it's a fakeness.
And some people, it's just as simple as he's the coach of the Chicago Bears. Whoever the coach of the Bears would be, they'd hate them.
Sure.
So let us know. 248-539-9797. This Ticket Texter says, I feel like he didn't earn it. He had the full complement of toys on offense. Aaron Glenn had to earn it with bad players and injuries. This texter says he gives off Lane Kiffin vibes or even Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I mean, I'd see that.
What irks me is that he wanted to stay in the North and was just waiting for this opportunity. Wanting to work with Caleb Williams to me was junk. It's arrogance, wanting to outduel Dan and the Lions.
So I don't have any issue that he went to, and I would argue that most people would think, okay, if Aaron Glenn was in Chicago and Ben Johnson was with the Jets, there'd be some feelings towards Aaron Glenn of being in division as the coach of the Bears. I just don't feel it would be the same level of disdain as we feel for Ben Johnson.
I agree with you. And we're trying to figure out exactly what's at the heart of that.
We found common ground. Yeah. Look at that.
Well, I don't hate him the way you do, but that's maybe because I have a degree of smarm. Which a lot of people have pointed out this morning. I won't even bother reading all of them. Texter says, what was the arrogant talk when he was our OC? That's right. It was perfectly fine. Just like politics. When he's ours, everything's fine. And when he's not, the other side is the devil.
If that's how you want to look at it, that's fine.
Get to Gary on a cell. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, guys. John, when I'm all done saying what I have to say, I have one little thing to say to you.
Oh.
First of all, my feeling is that Ben Johnson could have diffused the whole thing by saying, I'm not accepting any job offers till after the playoffs. I will not talk to anybody. He never made that statement.
But Gary, that's not what coaches do.
That's how business is done. He didn't do anything that any of the other coaches didn't do.
Okay, I understand that, but he could have, and he didn't. He was listening to offers. I thought his head was up in the clouds.
So was Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn was taking interviews too. Do you hate him for doing it?
Not as much.
See, that's my point.
But I think, Gary, it's not to like rip you or anything. I think Tom did a good job bringing this up. This was new to us. We haven't lost assistant coaches to head coaching jobs before. Yeah. But John, this is business as usual. This is what happens every cycle. The good teams assistant coaches.
Him. Did you hang up on him?
Yeah.
He was going to tell me something.
Oh.
Oh, man. Gary, if you're listening, yeah, give us a call
right
back.
Call right back. Yeah. We'll get him back on the line. Sorry, it's like muscle memory. Once we move on, I hit the button and we move on.
So where were you going with it?
This is business as usual.
It is business as usual. And I mean, I didn't realize it as a young football player, and it was at Michigan where it happened to me first, where Greg Madison was our defensive line coach and ultimately defensive coordinator. He took a job with Notre Dame. And I thought, how dare you? You go to a rival, you go to somebody else that you're directly competing with. Now, okay, they're not in conference, but to me it was unthinkable. And then you grow up and you think, okay, for the coaches and even for NFL players, it's a job. It's a paycheck. It's about your family. And then he came back and then he left Ohio State, and I had much less anxiety or disdain for it because I understood it more. And I don't have any problem with Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn or any other assistant coach taking interviews during a playoff run. That's how business is done. You could be mad at the situation and the setup that the NFL allows it, but right. You can't be mad at the coaches for doing it.
Dude acts all big and bad, but he's built like a D3 punter. Dan Campbell is Batman. Ben Johnson is Robin. He will never be Batman. Let's get to Gary. Let's finish that thought. Good morning, Gary. Sorry about that.
Hi, guys. It's okay. I understand what happened. The thing I want to say to John is that, number one, I really enjoy your insight into the game, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck. October 1st is coming, and we all know what that's about, and I wish you the best of luck during deer season.
Thank you.
That's what I wanted to say to Johnson. Great show, guys.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah.
Last one, because I think this is funny. Brian texts us, Ben Johnson is the type of guy that will tuck in a napkin into his shirt when he's eating spaghetti and say, I'm a noodly boy, while watching cartoons at 8 p.m. on a Saturday. Heather with the news!
Okay. Vigils are being held across the country in honor of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, who was shot and killed while speaking at Utah Valley University on Wednesday. An intense manhunt is underway for the person responsible for his death, and as of this morning, no suspects are in custody. I do know that the FBI right now are briefing the media with the latest information, so you can go online or tune in and hear that. Kirk was in the middle of his tour when he was killed. He was headed to Colorado State University next. He leaves behind a wife and two young children.
So sad.
It is. The Athletic dropped a report Wednesday that detailed how 8 men employed by the Tigers are accused of misconduct against women in the workplace since 2023. The accusations range from one vice president allegedly pushing a woman down a flight of stairs to another commenting on whether her looks were good enough for her to succeed in the sports industry. In response,
gross.
I know, and more. There's a lot more allegations as well. Now, in response to the report, the Tigers did not dispute the reported incidents against these former employees. They said they took accountability for it, saying each was investigated promptly and each employee was terminated. A Macon County man is facing charges after he attacked his neighbor while he was cutting the grass. It happened on Saturday. The man pulled his 75-year-old neighbor off of his lawnmower and just started attacking him, kicking and punching him. The victim's wife then tried to intervene, but she was also assaulted. Both the husband and wife needed medical attention. The suspect was arraigned on Monday on charges of assault with intent to murder, which is a felony punishable by up to life in prison, and also assault or assault and battery. And no reasoning why. Obviously, they didn't get along very well. But what?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. The NCAA has permanently banned 3 basketball players from Fresno State and San Jose State after they were found to have bet on themselves and one other. So the NCAA found that the trio exchanged information and bet on each other during the 24-25 season. Specifically, the three players were said to have talked about individual betting lines for the purpose of manipulating outcomes to win prop bets, and two of the players allegedly manipulated their own performance to ensure that their bets won. All three players were released from their teams and are no longer enrolled in their respective schools. Yikes.
This is what happens when it is so prevalent that you're going to have some moments like this. Not everyone, it's a very small percentage, but this is the risk.
Yep. So most sports teams, they try to create, you know, a really fun, engaging fan environment.
Yeah.
Every sports team does that. They want their fans to come and watch. And one way some teams can do that is by introducing some new creative food options.
Oh, yes.
Right? Like
yes.
Every year, I mean, I did it here. What the food you're going to find at Ford Field when you go to watch the Lions. There's always new and interesting options, mm-hmm. usually related to the team in some way, right? Mm-hmm. Well, TCU is trying to do the same thing. Did you see this?
I did. It looks terrible.
And they decided to sell a really unique corn dog at their football games. It's a purple corn dog, and I think that they overlooked one really critical
the way it
optical,
looks.
Yes, yeah. issue before they decided to go through with it. It looks like a turd. It looks like a piece of poop.
It does.
I did not think that was the word you were going to use.
I wasn't. John, it wasn't the word I was going to use. It just came out.
They're calling it a turd on a stick.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Not
oh,
the, yeah. Not the school. The
not
fans.
The school. No, the fans are. Yeah.
Oh, I saw a reference to a piece of poop.
It looks like a turd. You totally caught me off guard with that one.
I kind of caught myself
it is,
off guard.
Yes, and I love corn dogs.
Yeah, well,
just
most
don't
want to
eat one that looks like that.
No, I mean, we'll see how it does. I mean, it's getting attention, but
sure.
I don't know.
I'm not sure
going
it's going
to
be.
Yeah.
Have you seen like what the concoction contains? It's not your typical.
No, it's not your
oh,
typical.
Oh no, what's
that?
I didn't look at the details. I got stuck on the picture.
Once you saw it was like turd like you were
yes.
yeah. all the way out. Do you have what?
A turd on a stick. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a half-acre Korean corn dog, and it features a hot dog surrounded by mozzarella cheese dipped in batter that matches the football team's primary color, which is fried, dusted with this ube powder.
It's like a purple potato.
Yeah, and then drizzled with hot honey.
So I like all the ingredients. It sounds terrific, but just leave it looking like a regular corn dog.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the food coloring or the dusted with the purple.
The purple. It's like purple yam.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know what it is. I mean, we eat with our eyes, too. And you can't get that out of your head.
No.
All right. Heather with the news. Dear John, next, 97.1.
Hey, value-driven banking begins with First Merchants Bank. When I have questions about my finances, obviously, I turn to my bank, and that's First Merchants Bank. I know that their attentive local bankers are 100% interested in listening to my situation and in helping me find the answers that I need. First Merchants doesn't provide cookie-cutter solutions or check-off boxes. It's not one-size-fits-all when it comes to financial advice. They're going to take the time to learn about my life, my personal financial goals, and work with me to build a plan that fits my situation. And that's because First Merchants Bank really cares. They see me as a person, as an individual, not just as a number on a spreadsheet, and they're going to do all they can to help their customers and communities succeed. You can count on that since First Merchants Bank is staffed by local bankers who know and are passionate about the needs of the local community because it's their community as well, and we all have to work together to help it continue to prosper. To get started on your personalized financial solution today, you can visit them at firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com, First Merchants Bank, member FDIC.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.